Hey, ham radio listeners. I feel like shit. How are you doing? I don't know what the fuck is going on. This has been one crappy fucking week. I've always had weird sleep problems, like for my whole life. I remember when I was still in elementary school, really thinking it through, you know, if you could have superpowers, what would you have? And a lot of these superpowers people pick, just not very good. They're not really very useful in real life. Flying, come on, how long is it going to be before someone shoots you? Just some jerk off, eventually. It's going to happen. Flying, that's not really that useful. That's just silly. And invisible. Did you ever read that book, Memoirs of the Invisible Man? I did read that when I was still in elementary school. It's a lot better than that shitty Chevy Chase movie, but it's a lot of problems with being invisible. It's fairly crippling, in fact. I guess if it was your superpower, you'd be able to turn it on and off, but now I really thought it through, and I decided what would be the best things to have would be, because I lived in Canada, where it's fucking freezing cold, being able to maintain a regular body temperature at all times would be obviously really fucking great. Which, once you get a little further south, it's essentially how it is. I mean, people that aren't from Canada, you just can't understand. Somebody was just telling me that the other day. I can't remember who. Matt Bray, maybe? But, you know, that the U.S. gets cold. Like, fuck, the U.S. gets cold. Suck my cock, the U.S. gets cold. You have no fucking idea. But the other one would be just to be able to sleep. Just to be able to decide right now, I'm going to sleep for X number of hours, and then I'm going to wake up. I'm pretty sure I was still in elementary school when I had that idea. Maybe junior high. But young enough, so the point is, I've had sleep problems for decades. And I guess I haven't really done anything about it. I haven't really seen anybody about it. I'm gonna have to do that when I get back to Canada. But generally, though, just the way my life is, it just doesn't matter that much. It doesn't matter if I get enough sleep. I don't have a structure. This week has just been fucking me. I don't know what the fuck is going on. The last time I remember it being like this was when I moved back home and I was babysitting my niece, Allie. It was this little while when I first got back where it was just like every day I woke up feeling like a fucking truck hit me, like just feeling worse than the day before. And that's been going on a bit this week. Not as bad as that, but I do just wake up feeling worse. I wake up with headaches, wake up still tired, doesn't matter how much I sleep. Maybe the fact that I'm sleeping on a couch doesn't help. I really should get that air mattress back from Keith and him to just haven't bothered yet. And the cruise is coming up and shit, I'll do it after. It's hard to even get out of the house. See, that's the whole thing, is just, I haven't even been out of the house today. So finally I decided, like, Christ, I didn't even get out before the sun fucking went down. I'm just so disorganized. I'll get into this more in a sec. Let's play a fucking song. This is called No Transitory. It's from the second Alexis on Fire album. And the first time I heard this song was in my little apartment that I lived in by myself for 6 months in Vancouver. One night when I couldn't sleep, video came on Much Music. I don't know, seems appropriate. So here's some Alexis on Fire.
Baby,
been getting a lot of comfort out of Canadian stuff lately. It's weird. What did I hear the other day? I was listening to, it's this Canadian fucking music show, The Ongoing History of New Music. And they did one all about rock producers from Canada. Garth Richardson, Bob Rock, all these guys that have produced, like, really famous albums. So it's like maybe you don't know the Canadian behind it, but you know the album type of shit. And the dude said that Canada only is responsible for, like, 2% of the worldwide music market. Like that last show, I played a fucking shitload of Canadian stuff that I bet a lot of people my age knew a lot of that shit. But if you didn't live in Canada, maybe you, like, literally didn't even know one of those songs. So weird to me. Although I'm starting to understand more and more that Canada and America really are different countries, but still hard to get through my head. And I'm walking through fucking America right now, besides being filthier and with more people and warmer. Doesn't seem so different. That was the point I was going to make. That song, that was the first Alexis on Fire single to really feature Dallas Green on lead vocals. Their first album especially mostly had the other guy, George the Screamer. I was never as into that one. My friend Matt liked it a lot. I remember I saw those guys in my hometown. See, when that first album came out, they had this song called Pulmonary Archery that I really thought was kind of inexplicably famous. Like, I was surprised how well it did, because it was a really fucking abrasive song. It seemed weird that it would, especially at that point, early 2000s, pop music was just fucking running rampant over the bullshit teeny bopper charts. So that song really stood out. So they played the Elks Club, the Elks Lodge, in my hometown, which was probably my favorite place to see bands in my hometown. Until they stopped having punk shows and shit there. So they were afraid the fucking floor was gonna collapse. Yeah, I just remember split into two levels. You know, the upstairs was the hall, the downstairs was where you go to drink. Man, what was the first show I went to there? It was so cool. I went with my friends Matt and Chris. Crazy Andy was there. He's the dude who has half his face tattooed. Andy McIsaac, an old friend of my cousin's. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm kind of lost. See, my whole plan was just let's at least just get out of the fucking house. Just go for a walk and listen to some music. And then just as I was heading out the door, I was like, well, I should bring the camera, record this shit, do a show. Why the fuck not? So I guess that's what these shows really boil down to, is this is just kind of what I do. I just walk around and listen to music and think about shit. Just usually without a running commentary. Yeah, so I was in the upstairs floor of the Elks Club, heading downstairs. And I ran into that guy, George, the screamer singer. The screamo guy. And I don't know, it was not any kind of a real exchange. I was just like, hey man, how did you pull this shit off? Like, how did you manage to fucking get so high in the charts and much music? Come to think of it, that might have been kind of insulting, you know? How the fuck did your band? But I didn't mean it like that. But he just said, I don't know, man. Big smile, pat on the back, you know? Canada, it's a good place. Let's play another Canadian song. Just because this happens to be the next one in the playlist, coincidentally. It also involves the word sleep. There's this band, Our Lady Peace. I think they did okay in the States. People seem to know who they are. really liked their first album way back. And then the second one, the tone was shifting, but it was still a pretty good album. By the third one, I was more or less just paying attention to the singles, and then they really lost me after that. They just had this string of just really shit songs, like the fucking Innocence one. God damn it, that thing is just deadly. Just wuss, super wuss rock. And then, I don't know, they're up to like album number 7 now or something. And this this single, second single from that album, still, well, even actually the first single from that, Where Are We? Where Are You? I remember there was a lyric from that I really liked. How did that go? It's like, I'll dig it up, I'll go play it a little bit. But it's like, I just found out everything I ever thought was true was a big lie. But this might be the best day of my life. You know, if the truth should kill me, then let me die. And then the second single, Angels Losing Sleep, is still a soft song, but I always liked this one. It just got stuck in my head. I remember there was one night. See, Vancouver is a grid where Burnaby is not. Burnaby's the next town over. And they're essentially the same city. The only difference is there's a street called Boundary. You cross that and you're into Burnaby, but then the grid goes away. Everything gets all lost. And even though, man, where did I live? I lived on like 41st by the Joyce SkyTrain. And I was only walking from Metro Town. So you Vancouverites might have some idea the geography. It's not a very far walk, but I don't know, 20, 30 minutes? But I started cutting through places, trying to take shortcuts, and I got seriously fucking lost. Maybe the most lost I've ever been. Well, when I was like in second grade, I remember I got lost in Florida once. I wandered away from my parents. Some cops picked me up, thankfully, because I was like, eventually realized I didn't know where I was or where my parents were. Don't know how I didn't. Well, it's because, I won't get into it anyway. I had reasons for wandering away. I thought I knew where my mom was. I thought I could get to her. But then I couldn't. And then I couldn't get back to where my dad was. And anyway, I ended up crying and stuff. And some cops found me. And my parents had already called the police, so it all worked out okay. But man, that must have been terrifying for my fucking parents. Anyway, besides that, this was the most lost I'd ever been. I was lost for like 4 hours walking around fucking Burnaby. And I was like stuck in the boonies far enough that it's like there weren't even cabs or anything. There were still occasional bus stops. Just the buses don't run that late in Vancouver. So I mean, it's not like I was like gone, but I didn't see anybody. I didn't know where the fuck I was. It wasn't like a scary lost. It was just a, like, where the fuck am I lost? And eventually, I figured out where I was. I ended up being on like Southwest Marine Drive, way, way up past like 71st. And I just remember I had this cool little MP3 player that eventually broke, but I got it from Aaron, who I used to do Lageria with. I had some Keith and the Girls on there, and it could pick up the radio. I miss that, having the radio. So there's pretty much only this one station I liked in Vancouver. The Fox, you know, a generic rock station, but it's good sometimes. Yeah, I live by the airport, in case you didn't hear that airplane going by. And this song was in rotation at the time. It's mostly my strongest memory of this song is just walking around and just having a song come on that you like, you know. It just added a little fucking, give me a little burst of energy for a few minutes. But yeah, this is it's a pretty soft, rocking fucking song, but I always like this one. It's just got a nice vibe to it. This is Angels Losing Sleep by Our Lady Peace.
Looks like the Holy Ghost is gone. Now you're afraid
of yourself. Over your shoulder you have to watch heaven fall into hell. Looks like you're about to sink, so it's time to prepare.
These guys did some kind of cool stuff when this album came out. It's called Healthy and Paranoid Times. It was a good album title. And it was like, if you bought the album the first day, it was only like 10 or 12 bucks. And they did two shows at the Commodore. If I remember right, you could get into for free if you had, you know, your album. One of them was all ages, and then later in the night, the boozy age. It was just cool. I'm just remembering the video for that Our Lady Peace song. It's one of those things that just like straddles the line between being sappy and dopey and being cool. But they're walking. walking along, singing the song, with parachutes on that are just dragging across the ground. And then at the very end, the wind picks up and, you know, they go up into the air and sail away. I remember I read an interview with some film director, I can't remember who, who said that the worst thing you can do is, like, to really try to make a piece of art that's beautiful, because it will probably turn out, you know, self-indulgent and just cheeseball, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I mean, if you're not even trying, you know, for those transcendent moments, maybe they'll happen by accident. But maybe they won't. I also remember I read an interview with Joss Whedon, who's like my fucking favorite dude. For writers that aren't dead yet, he's pretty much tops. It's just, he's got this whole thing of like, now, my favorite way of describing the stuff he does is he says he doesn't want to write things that people like. You know, he wants to make things that people love. Stories that people just, like, fucking need, that they just fill a void. And it's true that nobody does that like him, for me. But I like the way he hides things, like, inside pop culture, inside just seems like throwaway entertainment, but there's all kinds of stuff going on in there. But he also said, as far as writing, so you gotta kill your babies, you know? Like, you write your script, then you go through and you find your most clever line or your favorite moment or your favorite piece of dialogue and take it out. And I get what he means. I mean, particularly since he usually works in TV, you know, it's like a fairly rigid structure for how things have to be. You need a balance. And probably, if you really love this one exchange so much, this one moment, this one piece of dialogue, you're probably fucking with the rest of your story to get to that moment. Like, you're probably making mistakes in other places just to make sure everything lines up for that one moment. So I get what he means. Maybe when I'm a little older, I'll go along with that. But right now, I can't. Right now, I'd rather have things be unbalanced if it means it's going to get me to that one moment that really fucking hits you, you know? It really means something. A lot of fucking people out tonight. Kind of wish they would fuck off. I'm trying to talk to myself here. Guess it is still pretty early. It's only like 9 o'clock. You know, the Asians have their own, like, underground railroad around here? In this neighborhood, at least. It's these little vans, little short buses. They're white and they're covered in, like, red Asian writing. Chinese, I presume. And if you're an Asian dude and you're waiting at a bus stop, you see one of them go by, you just lift your arm, they stop, you hop on, and they take you wherever. So weird. So inaccessible to non-Asian speakers. I don't know, maybe I can muscle my way on. Maybe all they do is look at me weird, but I mean, how would you even ask what it is, how it works, what it costs? It's like this restaurant my friend Leo took me to in the Crystal Mall in Vancouver. It's not like I was the only white dude who was ever there, but most of the time I was. And I would never have even gone, you know, without him to guide me, because it was very, very Chinese. The Southwest Pepper House is called S&W. They have this one, like, fish dish. Oh, man, it's so good. It's so fucking spicy, though. It's, like, ridiculous. I was talking to him through email the other day. We really don't keep in touch that much. I don't really keep in touch with anybody. I haven't even talked to my mom. And, like, fuck, I don't know. I should give her a call. It's been a while. But I mentioned that place to him because I found a place around here that's northeast-style Chinese food, diametrically opposed to the southwest, which I gotta go try sometimes to see what that is, what that means. But I think that means generic Chinese food, but I guess we'll see. Yeah, anyway, in the email, he's like, hey, shit, my new job is really close to there. I'm going to go get some for lunch. I don't know, that's just kind of cool. It's just kind of cool to exert influence over people, you know, from far away. Especially, man, I don't know, I really love restaurants and food. I miss that about Vancouver. Vancouver was better for that in some ways than New York. New York's got some cool shit. Ayn keeps finding cool places for us to go. But I remember mentioning excellent sushi on the Keith and the Girl forums, and then somebody was like, hey, I went and tried it out. You're right. That is excellent. And I was like, I know. It's delicious. Corner of Davie and Granville, by the way. Excellent sushi. Also, check out the Babylon Cafe on Robson near Granville. Best Middle Eastern food. Fucking delicious. The combo plate, so good. I'm starting to feel better just being outside, walking around. My headache's going away. See, I've been waking up with these headaches, like, ridiculous. I don't know. I still don't get headaches very much. I always just assume it's because I haven't had enough sleep, but I guess you can get headaches for other reasons. Especially since I keep fucking going to sleep and it doesn't fucking make any difference. Used up my last couple of Tylenol today, so I was like, I should go buy some more, but should I? I don't know. What should I be medicating this? It's like, all right, let's take a break from me complaining. Let's play a song that fits with disassociative, all-purpose, impossible to get a handle on, nebulous angst. Play some Radiohead. This is from Kid A. I could never really get into that album. I keep giving it another try, and I just never get what people see in it. But I always like this song. This is called Everything in Its Right Place.
Still
walked past a place where an Asian guy asked me if I wanted a foot massage. I said no thank you. So I've been, I don't know, mildly concerned about my level of self-medication lately. Which to most people is probably just silly. I mean, come on, people do like crazy hard drugs and it all balances out, or they think it does. I don't know. So yeah, it's not like I'm some kind of crazy drug fiend. I'm just coffee, I guess. It's like, man, you know, if I had a coffee, I bet that really would make me feel better. But it's like, you know, 9 at night or 9:30 or something. It just fucked me up way too good. Well, I'll probably be up all night anyway, because I did spend most of the afternoon trying to sleep off this fucking... It's like I got jet lag or something. That's what it feels like. But I've noticed these, like, little sleeping pills you can get from... You know, just from drugstores. Somehow I didn't know they existed until, like, a year ago. And they're basically just Tylenol PMs and no Tylenol. Can't remember what the active ingredient's called. Starts with a D. Usually comes in 25 milligram pills, but I always get the 50s. And, I don't know, when I take those, that's when I feel like how normal people feel. You know, I'm real drowsy. Feel tired. I can wake up and go to the bathroom and then go back to bed and fall asleep again. That's how normal people feel all the time. And I really don't use them that much, but only because I'm in this weird life where it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if my next day is a train wreck. It doesn't matter if I wake up and go back to sleep a few times in the day. If I had a normal 9-to-5, well, I wouldn't. I can't do it. So, I mean, it's like a couple of things converging. It's my desire not to have a shitty 9-to-5. My personality in general, combined with sleep problems that have led me to this weird point in my life. Is kind of adrift. I don't know. See, I worry too that once I finally do go see some doctors, see some specialists, there's not going to be any kind of, you know, like a clear answer. Probably I'll get, I mean, I'm sure there will be help of some kind. And stuff, but it's like gonna always be a grind to just, I don't know, try to have a normal schedule, try to keep a normal balance of sleep, fucking, I don't know, stop trying to talk, Keith, stop trying to explain yourself, you're not even thinking about what you're saying, for Christ's sake. Alright, let's stick with the downbeat. Let's play some Cure. This is pretty much my favorite Cure song. This song, Lullaby from Disintegration, is really good too, but this is called The Forest. It's from their second album, which was like 1980 or 81. I played it in that mixtape I made a while back, but it's weird to see pictures from back in this era, because everybody kind of knows the iconic image of Robert Smith. Really pale-faced, big, crazy black hair. He just looked like a normal dude back then. Short hair, just a normal lad. But I also heard that he, did I tell this story already? That he deliberately got other people in the band to be less virtuoso with their performances, you know? Like, they were getting too fancy for him. He didn't want that. He wanted it to be simple and stripped down. Bass lines and such. And it all worked out well, though, because for an 80s band, they just don't have that 80s-ness to them. There's a timelessness to the Cure. There's besides some of their production stuff, the drum sound especially, like, they don't sound like they're of an era necessarily. Anyway, this is the unplugged version, the acoustic version of this song. Came out on a greatest hits thing a little while back. This is a really good song. This is A Forest by The Cure.
See into the trees, find the gold while you can. Come closer and see, see into the dark. Just follow your eyes, just follow your eyes.
A weird situation to be in when you're tired and you go to sleep and it doesn't make you less tired. I mean, what else can you do? It's just like this weird, unescapable hell. Hein's always concerned that I'm not getting any sleep when I'm over at her place. Sarah thinks I'm lying to her, that I'm just laying there staring at the ceiling all night. But I'm really not. I sleep a lot better over at her place. Now, granted, that could be because she has a real bed. If you want to take the fucking obvious answer. But spot, I think, is that I just like being there with her. Tired and cold, man. My two most hated afflictions. That'd be the worst, to die tired and cold. Just feel like the fucking world had, you know, the worst parts of the world that have been fucking me my whole life finally got me. I want to be wired on fucking caffeine and meth and be on fire. That's how I want to die. Just the exact opposite. Just to show them, world. Let's play some more Alexis on Fire. This is from their third album. Can't remember what this is called. Arsenal Mailbox? Or some kind of really weird name. Same basic formula that their later stuff falls into. The loud screamy parts and then the pretty singy parts. But the loud screamy parts are really great, and the quiet singy parts are also really great. It's just fucking really great. Can't deny that the formula works. Alexis on Fire. There's like all kinds of people all over the place in this neighborhood. I was just thinking how this is like totally the alone in a crowd thing. I'm literally fucking talking to myself, doing a radio show amongst all these people. But just walked by a guy, Asian guy, smoking with an open shirt, walking his little teeny tiny dog without a leash, just watching it sort of run along. He's just sitting there leaning against a fence, shirt blowing in the wind, eyes narrowed, smoking a cigarette, looking all like Yakuza. I don't know, it's just funny. There's another smoking guy. I think there's a lot more smokers around this demographic. Maybe they don't know yet. They don't know that it's death. Just walking by a building with giant white letters down the side. Rehabilitation. I always wonder about that. I don't know, it sounds... It's probably the same way, I think, when I see bums, when I, you know, and you gotta get up in the morning and go to work, and you see a bum all fucking wrapped up, sleeping on the road, how it seems comforting. Like, ah, look at him, all sleeping, all nicely unconscious while I got all the shit I gotta do. Long Island Care Center, it's called. You know, clearly that's not really how their life is. But I kinda think that same thing about, like, rehab. How nice that seems, you know? Just in this nice little place, and that's all you gotta worry about is your one problem. Which obviously, again, isn't true. It's a fucking maelstrom of problems, I'm sure. But, I mean, I got a fucking maelstrom of problems. I'm not even hooked on drugs. I'm not even an alcoholic. It's like, Christ, you know? Well, it's like Renton says in Trainspotting. You're off the shit. You got all kinds of problems. Don't have a bird, can't get laid, got a bird, too much hassle, etc., etc. When you got a sincere junk habit, and you only got one problem. I don't know, let's play some Alice in Chains. I mean, that guy, for instance, Lane Staley, Jesus Christ, I mean, he was hooked on hard drugs for like a solid decade before he died. He can really run that shit ragged. I mean, by the end, from what I hear, his teeth are pretty much all gone, and his kidney wasn't working right anymore, and he was fucking 12 kinds of fucked up, but still took a long time. But yeah, Alice in Chains, Dirt. I remember, I had a really, really hands-off upbringing in most ways. Which coincidentally happened to work fine for me, because I never had any inclination to go out of the house, sneak out, and go to parties and do crazy shit. I just didn't. Whereas my brother did, and he's a fucking mess now. He's wrecked. So maybe not the best way to raise a kid. But one of the very few times I remember my mom questioning anything I did was I had Alice in Chains, Dirt. I just remember she came into my room, and I think I was probably listening to it. Or I might have been listening to Faith No More, Angel Dust. But anyway, I remember she picked up the, I think it was the cassette I had. I upgraded to CD later, because I like that album so much. Yeah, she's just like, Alice in Chains. I don't know if I want you listening to this. And I was just like, it's fine. And she immediately capitulated. I was like, yeah, okay, sure. I guess you know best. And it's like, okay. On the one hand, Mom, I'm glad you're not on my fucking case. On the other hand, it wasn't very hard for me to fucking convince you. But Alice in Chains is like one of the few, if not the only, metal band I can think of that really seemed scary, like legitimately frightening. Because they weren't just talking about the normal stupid metal shit. It was all about drugs, but they weren't fucking kidding. I mean, Lane's fucking dead. This is all coming from a very legit fucking place. So I'm not sure what song I'm going to play. I'm going to browse through the album. Let's see which one stands out for me. But yeah, Alice in Chains, Dirt. It's a good fucking CD. Good fucking record. Shame a man had to die in fucking horrifying, slovenly misery to wring this out of himself. But what's done is done. Yeah. here's a song I really only know because of my friend Mark. It was like me, Matt, and Mark, and Mark's brother Chris, too. We all hung out a lot back in my hometown. And Mark was quite a bit younger than us. And he had some really different musical tastes. Well, I mean, it's like all it takes is a few years to totally miss out on whatever generation's thing it happens to be. Like, I remember I made him a mix CD of just, like, the grunge heavy hitters, you know? Fucking Smashing Pumpkins, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Alice in Chains. And he was like, wow, this shit's really great, you know? Like, he just didn't even know that stuff, which is just the stuff I take for granted. But last time I really, I mean, I see him here and there back in my hometown. The last time I really hung out with him must have been, like, 2 years ago. It was before I had the ham radio concept. I was still doing Lageria with Aaron. And he came to visit me in Vancouver, and he's really, really big into, like, the emo type shit, or he was then. And I just, oh man, I have such a hard time with that stuff. It's just brutal to me. But I kind of wish we had had the ham radio idea rolling at the time. Would have been interesting to do a show with them, just because that really would have been shit that I didn't know. And every once in a while, something came of it. I mean, I don't know, he kept slipping further and further. Like, by the time that happened, that visit, he was into, like, Dashboard Confessional and shit. I just can't, man, can't do it. But it started off with shit like, I remember there was a Fenix TX song I really liked that I heard up through him. Maybe I'll go track that down. But one of the big things was Blink-182. Just one of those bands I probably would have just dismissed. I mean, that happens a lot with bands like Linkin Park and stuff, where I'm just like, nah, fuck them, and then later I go check them out and decide I like them after all. But Blink-182, probably that wouldn't happen. But I did give them a chance just because Mark liked them so much. And sometimes some good shit came out of it, like this song, Damn It. I remember he specifically sent me this song, emailed it to me, even though I lived across the street from him at the time. And he's like, dude, check this song out, like this song is really good. And it just washed over me the first time. It just seemed very generic. Didn't, you know, I was like, okay, if you say so. But then it really did grow on me, and I really did start to realize, like, this is a fucking good song. So, in tribute to my friend Mark, I'm going to play Fenix TX and some Blink-182. Cheers to you, my emo friend. See, I wonder with, like, emo music, I think I've said this before, too, but musically, and I wouldn't call this shit I'm going to play emo, but, like, later he really did get into, like, full-on emo stuff. And, like, the lyrics of it I can get into, the whole vibe I can get into, the whole, I'm a fucking sad, sad, sappy fucking boy. Sure, why not? I obviously identify with that in a lot of ways. It's just the musical style, man. It's just so weird and whiny and soft, and it just, I don't know, man. It makes the fucking hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It just, I hate it. But I like these two songs, so here they are.
Just like me. chase to the master plan. But everybody's gone, and I've been here for too long. The faces on my own. Well, I guess this is growing up. Well, I guess this is growing up. And maybe I'll see you at a movie, sneak preview. You show up and walk by on the arm of that guy, and I'll smile and you'll wave. We'll pretend it's okay. The charade, it won't last. When he's gone, I won't come back. And it'll happen once again. You'll turn to a friend, someone that understands and sees through the master plan. But everybody's gone, and you've been there for too long. The faces on your own, well, I guess this is growing up.
Get a little sappy for a minute. It's Ion time. Last week, we were somewhere in Manhattan. We're gonna go get brunch, but brunch ends at 4 p.m. and we sort of didn't get there in time. So we ended up just going to this other bar and just getting beer and wings. This has just like been ages since I've done that. Pretty much the opposite of, you know, she kind of tries to steer me in health-conscious directions, because I do tend to sort of eat randomly. Not always bad food, just very random food. But this was a ceasefire on that. Wings and beer. And we just sat there talking about stuff. It's just so easy to talk to her about stuff. She called me the other day. She's in Florida. And after we were done talking, you know, I just click off the phone. It gives a little timer. We talked for an hour and a half. It's crazy. It didn't feel like an hour and a half. Felt like it went by real fast. One of the songs I happened to play in that bar, it was all kind of really soft shit that day. But it was the acoustic version of that Rihanna song, Umbrella. And then later, I was home just downloading. It's like this radio show that's pretty famous in London, where they get people to come in and do like little acoustic songs and shit. I downloaded this CD, 4-CD fucking compilation of shit from it. And one of them was this band doing a cover of that song. So it's not the same version of Umbrella, but I like this one better. I really like the way the guy sings, and it's just, it is a really pretty song. We just strip out the stupid Jay-Z and the fucking ridiculous, yeah, no, the original is a pretty fucking rough tune, not exactly a classic for the ages, but it really works out good as an acoustic song. And this song just makes me think of Ion, partially because it played in that bar, and just in general, you know, she asked me, like, really, what about that song really reminds you of us? And I mean, if you get right down to it, not very much. It's just the generic vibe, the generic love song vibe. Although the now that it's raining more than ever part, that does kind of make me think of just this weird inevitability of, like, I gotta go back to Canada. I got a while. I got 4 or 5 months, I guess, if everything goes all right. But it's weird. It puts you in a weird position, because everyone's advice, top to bottom, generic advice about relationships is just fucking relax. Just enjoy it. Don't overthink it. I can't argue this. That makes sense. But this does kind of force a little bit of like looking a little too far into the future. Because, I mean, in 4 or 5 months, who knows, maybe we'll burn out. Maybe we'll decide we're not so fucking charming and delightful, and that'll be that. But maybe we won't, you know? maybe it'll go really good, and then what the fuck's gonna happen? Then I gotta go back to Canada for like a long time. So then you think maybe it'll go so well that that wouldn't matter as much. Maybe we can survive being separated, but realistically, it's probably not true. So, this has been one downbeat fucking show. Jesus Christ. All right, here's some fucking umbrella. Ella, Ella,
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines, but you'll still be my star. Baby, 'cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars. And that's when you need me there. With you I'll always share. Because when the sun shines, we'll shine together. Told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be your friend.
You can know if I'ma stick it out till the end.
Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella.
You can stand under my umbrella.
These fancy things will never come in between. You're part of my entity, here for infinity. When the war has took its part, when the world has dealt its cards, if the hand is hard, together we'll mend your heart.
Because
when the sun shines, we'll shine together. Told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be a friend.
You can know that I'm sticking out till the end.
Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella.
You can stand under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A,
under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A, under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A, under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A. You can run into my arms. It's okay, don't be alarmed. Come into me.
There's no distance in between our love.
So go and let the rain pour. I'll be all you need and more. When the sun shines, we'll shine together. Told you I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be a friend.
You can know if I'ma stick it out till the end.
Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we'll still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella.
You can stand under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A, under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A, under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A, under my umbrella. Ella, Ella, A.
Well, let's swing back into fucking like Blink-182 pop sorta territory. This was another band that my friend Mark was an early adopter of. It's Sum 41. Because before they hit in the States, they of course hit in Canada. The first album, Half Hour Power, I remember he had. And this is not from that. This is from later. This is from Chuck. By this point, they're the big fucking pop punk powerhouses tearing up North America. I actually was kind of less into this band than I was Blink-182. But again, it's because of Mark that I gave them a try at all. And just kind of kept my eye a little on what they were doing. And this song in particular, I just remember really liking. It'd be another one that when it came on the radio, I was never disappointed to hear it. Sort of a generically, sort of, is this upbeat or downbeat? What beat is this song? I guess upbeat. Mildly inspirational. Cookie cutter inspiration, I guess. I don't know. Not a song that I love, but a song that I do like. So here's Some Say by Sum 41.
Some say we're never meant to grow up. I'm sure they never knew enough. I know the pressures won't go away. It's too late. Find out the difference somehow. It's too late to even have faith. Don't think things will ever change.
Past the Flushing High School Memorial Field. That whole idea is just so weird to me that places have lots of high schools. Like, my town had one massive high school with thousands and thousands of fucking kids. And they eventually did build a second one, but it was such a nightmare, man. I just hated it. And it's just so weird to me that not everybody hates high school. How fucking crazy is that whole concept? Ayn said she liked it. She said she liked it plenty. I don't even know what to say about that. I can't even imagine it. It seems impossible. I have kids when they get to be high school age. I think we're all just going to join the circus. Fuck school. We'll figure something out. Maybe we'll busk for 3 or 4 years. See, to me, anything would be better. But I guess I kind of got to accept that I got a narrow view. A view that is almost certainly wrong. This is a new part of the neighborhood. I've never been here before. And there's like nobody around. Guy on a bike passed me a bit ago. I see somebody like a block and a half down the street. That's it. It's kind of nice. There's a lot of fucking hustle and bustle down on Main Street. Ah, nice breeze blowing tonight. Probably gonna make my sound quality worse, but I think I officially feel all right now. It took me a little while there, but I'm nice and leveled out. Don't really want to go home, though. I think I'm going to put that off. Because I don't know, all I got is some sitting at the computer. See, there's all this stuff I meant to do this week. Writing especially, but goals I had set that I am not reaching. I'm like hitting, I don't know, 30%. Just have a bad work ethic. Ugh. But I mean, I did feel awful shitty these last couple of days, so I mean, excuses. Yeah, I was just thinking some more about Alice in Chains. I mean, like that song Junkhead that I played. It's not pulling any fucking punches, you know? It's just about, here are drugs that I do, and here's how it works, and here's what's going on with me. And it was even, like, way later in his life. Died in 2002, I think. It was about, like, 98. He did an interview with Rolling Stone where he said, like, hey, drugs did work for me, and now they ain't working for me anymore. They fucking turned on me. And then he did this other interview right before he died. Basically, just, like, talking about how his whole body was rebelling against him. Like, his kidney is failing. He's just shitting himself all the time. His girlfriend died in 96 from some kind of bacterial infection to the heart from needles. He almost had to have his arms amputated, is one story. Lane did. An arm amputated because he had so many abscesses. I don't know. I wonder if songs like this had an effect on me. I am a very strongly anti-drug person. And a lot of that is because my brother got so fucked up forever and always. A fucked up person. In part, at least, because of that shit. But I wonder if, like, if these songs really did have an effect on me when I was a kid. Because I don't remember anyone being too anti-drug on my ass, you know, no more than anybody else. Like I said, my mom was mostly hands-off. My dad, I don't know, he's mostly just a pothead, but drugs were around, you know. But I was always real against him. I wonder if it's just shit like how, you know, Lane Staley can say, fucking, are you happy, man? Well, I fucking am. If you really thought it through, you'd be doing like me. It ain't so bad. But I never fucking believed him, ever. I remember I had the Faith No More album, The Real Thing. I just had a dub of it, and I photocopied the inlay. So I had, like, my own little photocopied cassette of it. And that picture of Mike Patton on the inside, the inlay, he's just got this really superior look, you know, just like fucking head up in the air, looking down, like just super cocksure, really like conceited. I didn't know anything really about him or about Faith No More, really, and I was really young. But I remember that combined with that song, The Real Thing. I was just sure he was going to die. Like, that's how I equated stuff. Drugs in my head is like, you, somehow it seemed clear to me, even when I was a really little kid, that you're acting big, you're acting like this is fine, you're acting like this is cool, but this is gonna fucking destroy you. You're gonna die. You're done. Maybe most people don't die. Maybe it's weird that Lane Staley literally died, but I mean, it happens, right? Dude from Sublime died. The guy from fucking Blind Melon died. All kinds of people died. Anyway, I'm going to play that song, The Real Thing. It's like a really, really good song. And it really kind of chronicles the ups and downs of, seems clear to me, it's about drugs. Although, as far as I know, Mike Patton himself was never really big into drugs. I could be wrong about that. But especially the, you know, it's like the I'm on top of the world fucking, like, I knew this guy, Yasek, when I worked at the coffee shop, who was just like the most manic cokehead, you know? He'd be flying all over the place, super energetic, top of the world, and then he would crash and try to level it out with coffee, but just be miserable. This song, you know, it covers the spectrums, you know, of like, here it is. This is the best place you could ever be. This is the top of the world. And then by the end, it's just like this desperate longing for something else, you know, for a fuller life, you know, more of a real life than this weird artificial shit that you've been pumping yourself with. So even when I was only like, whatever I was, 12 years old or something, this shit really sunk in to me. So here's The Real Thing by Faith No More. my anti-drug, my cautionary tale.
Moment, that golden moment. perfect moment, that golden moment. I know you feel it so.
Passing the Whitestone Bagel Factory, officially out of Flushing into Whitestone. That means I've walked too fucking far. Maybe I should start looping back around. Pretty much everything's closed this time of night, now that it's getting later. What the hell time is it? It's almost 10:30 now, except I just passed a pub that's open. I don't know, I was a little tempted to go in, just get a beer. I don't know, I never got into bars and pubs and shit. That's one thing Ian was telling me, is just like, you know, want to meet people, want to get to know your fucking city, just go hang out at a bar, you'll meet somebody, make some friends, follow them to the next place. And I figure on some level, I mean, it's easier because she's a chick, but not even, because I remember I went to this place, Spooky's favorite bar, and it was just me and him sitting there drinking, hanging out. And on the other end of the bar, there's quite a few people there, but there was like this guy who was, he seemed just kind of like a really weird dude, just kind of sitting there, kind of furtively watching people and stuff. So we were just like, hey, look at that guy, what a weirdo. And I figured that was that. But Spooky went over and started talking to the dude and found out he was a writer, found out his name, just blah, 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 you know. But I just don't do that. I'm just not inclined to see what somebody's story is, to get to know them. Socially ambivalent, or antisocial, one of those. I don't know. And I guess you gotta question how much of it is that I just don't care, which is quite a lot of it. Or how much of it is that I'm just not comfortable, you know? Maybe I would have more fun in the world if I just went and made friends with everybody. Headache's starting to come back. It's like one of those behind-the-eyeball headaches. It was on my left eye earlier today. Or maybe that was yesterday. I don't remember. Now it's in the right one. Went away for a bit there. I was gonna get some aspirin on the way home, but I think it's too late. Well, maybe not. Dwayne Reed might be 24-hour. Let's play a little Flog of Molly. New Flog of Molly album came out this year. It's called Float. I haven't really had a chance to listen to it much yet. But yeah, this band is so weird. Like, everybody, I find they're kind of easily dismissed by people that are like, Flog of Molly, please, why don't you go listen to the Dropkick Murphys or the Pogues? Because those bands suck balls. I don't know what to tell you. To be fair, I haven't really dug into them enough to say for sure, but I just assumed after I got into Flog of Molly, I was like, well, great, I'm gonna like these other bands for sure, right? It's all like Celtic shit. But I just don't. I just can't get into them. I don't know what to tell you. Flog of Molly was a slow go, too. Let me play just the start of this song on their first album. I always really like just the start of this, the fucking, like, the weeping violin. I just listened to the beginning of this song and wish that this had been the whole song, that, you know, someone would reconstruct it into a whole tune. But then eventually I just let the song play and get to know the whole thing. Actually, well, I will play the whole thing, Likes of You. And then after that, I'm going to play just a live version of What's Left of the Flag. And this is kind of interesting just because this song never... I didn't realize I liked this song so much. If I had to pick my list of top 10 favorite Flog of Molly songs, this wouldn't be on it, but I listened to a bunch of Flog of Molly live shit from the Whiskey on a Sunday CD. And this was the song that totally stuck with me. I was just walking around singing it for like 20 minutes after. And I was like, holy shit, put that in my ham radio directory, because apparently I love that song. I didn't even realize. So here's What's Left of the Flag, live by Flog of Molly. But first, that other song, Likes of You, it's about his dad.
Here's to you, I sing for my daddy-o, as I lay him down to sleep. It's been so long since I lost my daddy-o. Oh, he's watching over me.
Driving me insane. And the clouds are in His eyes, they closed, and his last breath spoke. He had seen all to be seen. A life once full, now an empty vase, with the blossoms on his early grave. Walk away. Would slap off the flag for me. Then the rosary beads kept the 1, 2, 3 fell apart as they hit the floor. In a garb of black, we must pay respect to the killer we're born to mourn. Walk away, me boy, walk away, me boy. My morning will be free. With the golden tear from your mother, dear, raise the flap of the flag for me. Hatred and remorse. Where it begins correct, till the morning my suicidal rage that filled my lungs. There are many ways to kill a man, they say, with bayonet, axe or sword. It's not a bullet fart from a shapeless cousin, but the shell, the Thompson gun. Walk away, me boys, walk away, me boys. My morning will be free. With the golden tear from your mother, dear, there's a fifth of the flag for me. From east down to the western shore, tonight, for freedom reigns on all. A curse of things for which we slay the days with every man just gained a cup. Yeah!
By this like massive office, it's just like fucking ridiculously huge. Should have circled around it the other way. This is getting a little weird. Kind of wish I could get back to civilization. Anyway, it turns out it's the New York Times building, and it's like a fucking airport, man. How can the gay New York Times have this much shit? Is this even their main office? Wouldn't that be? Well, I guess you couldn't afford to have something this size in fucking Manhattan, but it seems weird that it's in Queens. Anyway, you know that band Flog and Molly? I found out just the other day that they're named after, they used to play in this club in L.A. called Molly Malone's, like every week. So that's where the name came from. They're Flog and Molly. Flog and Molly's. And that's where Keith and Hemda did their L.A. show. Molly Malone. So yeah, if you go to Keith and the Girls' website, katg.com, go to their store. They got a DVD called Keith and the Girl All Over the Place, edited by me. took me forever, but if I do say so myself, I did a very fine job. I recommend highly buying it. I got a shitload of, like, White Stripe stuff. I just downloaded a bunch of miscellaneous shit. None of them has really caught my ear enough to play on the show, but just little weird outtakes and B-sides and odds and ends. And I was listening to, like, Seven Nation Army remixes. That was the last thing I was listening to. I got a bunch of Mindless Self-Indulgence remixes, too. But, man, if you're a remixer, this is rule number one. Do not, under any circumstances, particularly if your remix is between 6 and 10 minutes long, start with like 4 bars of it's like, alright, you can fucking program a very basic drum beat, I understand. Get to the fucking, there's nothing interesting about that. You don't need to ease us into it. I really, really hate those generic dance mixes of stuff. I mean, I've heard some really cool remixes of shit. You can take songs that aren't even remotely techno, techno them right up, and sometimes it's great. But those ones are never good. Just these, just such long, slow, boring. I don't care if you're having the best fucking ecstasy trip of your entire life. That song's still gonna suck. Stop doing that. Lazy fucking remixers. Oh, so this kind of ties in. At that LA show that Keith and the girl did at Molly Malone's, their guest was their old friend Jeff Meacham. He used to do clam parties with them. Ball-shaven Jeff. He was in this campaign for a razor specifically designed to shave a man's balls. But I was watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's a really good show. Relic turned me onto it. Finally used them all up. Took me a while because I watch shows slow, but I finally watched through all of them. But, it's this episode in season 3 where they're having a dance contest. And I was like, I recognized this dude who's like a minor character in it. I was like, who the fuck is that guy? I just, for some reason, positive associations, you know? So I must have seen him somewhere else. I mean, he was hilarious. I don't know. But I couldn't think of who he was, so I had to look him up. And it turns out it was Jeff Meacham. He's been on a few different shows. And that's just a weird feeling where usually it's just like, you know, if I know somebody, it's because it's from some other show or from a movie or something. And this guy, I mean, I don't know him, I never met him, but he's like friend of a friend. It's weird that that's why I knew him. I knew him because I know people that know him. Like, I don't know, just that one step closer to real life. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, this is another episode from season 3 where they decide to start a band. And Charlie sings these weird songs. Like, this might not even make sense if you haven't watched the show or you don't know it, but this song's about the Nightman. It was essentially a guy who climbs into his room at night and rapes him. And the Nightman song and then the Dayman song are just awesome. Particularly Dayman. Dayman totally got stuck in my head. So here's some weird ditties from a TV show.
Dreams, I think I love you. You make me want to cry. You make me want to die. I love you, 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 Nightman. Every night you come into my room and beat me down. You put your strong arms.
I mean, the first half of that song was kind of cool, but what's with the second half?
It's about the Nightman, like, you know, like filling me up and I become him. I become the spirit of the Nightman.
But it sounds like a song where a man breaks into your house and rapes you.
What, dude? Where are you getting that from?
All right, no.
Daylight.
Yeah, I like that.
Dayman.
Dayman.
Fighter of the Nightman. Champion of the...
Sun.
You're a master of karate!
And friendship for everyone!
A day man, that's it!
Day man!
Oh, fighter of the night man! Oh, champion of the sun! Oh, you're a master of karate! And friendship for everyone! Day man!
Day man! Oh, nice, we'll get the...
Fighter of the night man! Champion of the sun.
All right, that huge New York Times building hooked into the big movie theater I found last time I was walking around out here in the 24-hour bowling alley. So I totally know where I am. That's cool. I was going to hop on a bus, but I think my monthly pass has expired. It's okay though, walking's good for you. However, I also ran out of songs. Surely if I dig through my MP3 player, I'll find something else I want to play on the way back. So on the walk home, I've been listening to this 4-hour dissection retrospective thing by Radiohead from that Ongoing History of New Music show I was talking about. I only got hour one. Do you know, supposedly, in Creep, those really loud, grating fucking guitar bits right before the chorus.
Sounds special, but I'm a creep.
Those were because Johnny What's-His-Face, apparently he hated that song. Tom York wrote it, and he's like, man, this is some wimpy-ass shit. This song sucks. So during rehearsals and stuff, he would do that just to annoy everybody. And one of the engineers recorded that in secret, put it into the mix, and it was really cool. Supposedly, as the story goes. I'm just walking past that northeast-style Chinese place I was talking about. Man, there gets to be some cartoonish shit in this city. Just when I was telling the border of Whitestone, walked by this fucking, you know, some kind of bar and billiards place. I know it's a silly word, billiards, especially for this neighborhood that I was in. Because then just a little ways down the block, there was this black chick, clearly a prostitute, quite fucking hot. I was thinking how must be fun just to be a fucking... In a way, it must be fun just to be a total piece of shit. Just, you know, fucking... That could be my local hangout. My fucking hardcore billiards bar. Could get all drunk, do coke, fuck a whore. But for a little while, it's a good time. Until you realize you're a ridiculous piece of shit. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, it's weird with this this History of New Music show. Is because of like licensing reasons, you can't just go download it from their website. The best you can get is they've got this version that doesn't have any songs. It's like just the talking parts. Because of licensing reasons, blah blah blah, they're not allowed to include the music. But of course you go onto a fucking torrent site and you can get like every show they ever did from like 1999 through 2003. It's like, come on, music industry. Get your shit together. It's ridiculous. Anyway, trying to figure out one more song to play to cap this show off, but I'm not sure what it is yet. Check this out. Check out this text I just got from mine, who's in Florida. Tonight was naked hot tub time with my two hot college roommates. Their boobs are huge. I love Florida. That's definitely one of those cheer you up fucking text messages. Well, I guess we should finish off with some Radiohead since I've been listening to so much Radiohead on this walk home. I never really liked that first Radiohead album, Pablo Honey. Eventually, Creep grew on me. I didn't like it at first either. But the one song I did always like right off is track number one. It's called You. So let's play that. Track one from the first Radiohead album. You know, I was thinking I could maybe do a show about that concept. If I talked about this too, I feel like I'm just repeating myself, but bands who you could make the argument that the first song on their first album was the best thing they ever did. That's clearly not the case with Radiohead, but I should try to put that together sometime. I don't really know how to sign these things off, but I don't know. Thanks for listening, I guess. Essentially, I'm just talking to myself, but, you know, just knowing that there's an internet out there that's going to hear it significantly better than if I was just recording these on weird little cassette tapes and putting them in a shoebox in my closet or something. It is nice getting, you know, the occasional email and stuff about how, yeah, chop that up too.